former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN and DraftKings Network. Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line, the show as always presented by DraftKings, alongside Mike Somich, who's in for Michael Lombardi today. Stormy Bonantoni with you. If you missed any of our one of the show, remember you can always download the Lombardi Line in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. We broke down all of the college hoops and NBA craziness of yesterday. Also asked the question of what is the best way to end a game? Is it a buzzer beater? Is it a Hail Mary? Is it a game-winning goal in game seven, like we were talking about earlier, Mike? But if you want to get in on the conversation, tweet at us at VSiN Live, at SamaBomb18, at StormBonAntoni. Would love to hear some of your thoughts on that. Mike, but let's get into the NFL because it is combine week and we have so much going on and quotes galore that are coming out of GMs and coaches. Players are going to talk today. And one of the things that came out is about the Vikings believing that Kirk Cousins wants to stay in Minnesota. Take a listen to what Kevin O'Connell had to say yesterday.
Kirk Cousins knows how I feel about him. I've held no secrets there. He knows how the Minnesota Vikings feel about him. I believe Kirk wants to be a Viking, and we're going to work to try to make that the outcome. Kirk was a huge reason why I thought so highly, amongst a lot of things, about the Minnesota Vikings opportunity. Because of my belief in him, we've won a lot of games over these 2 years with Kirk as our quarterback, and I thought he was playing as well as anybody in the National Football League when he got hurt.
He was playing great. He was having a career year, and then he tears the Achilles. Now the question is, what happens with him this year? Do you think he ultimately stays in Minnesota?
I do. He had the opportunity before that Achilles tear, and he was top five in almost every statistical category as far as NFL quarterbacks went last year, to be traded. They were sitting there at 1-4, and the talk was, does he go to the Jets? What's his next landing spot? And he came out and said, I want to stay in Minnesota. I believe in this team. My family is happy here. To me, I would be surprised if he does a 180 in this offseason. Yes, he wants to get paid. He wants as much money as possible. But I don't see him saying, okay, I'm just going to go to Pittsburgh. I'm going to go to New England. I'm going to go to Denver, wherever you want to place him, right? Las Vegas. And uproot his family, because he has always been a family man and someone who's interested in that consistency. And he is happy there in Minnesota. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up back on the Vikings. And if you're the Vikings, what else are you going to do here? I mean, you don't have a draft pick where you're likely going to get a quarterback that you feel can be the quarterback of the future right away. You have a prolific offense. I mean, Addison was definitely a hit in the draft last year. You've got Jefferson on the other side. He's probably the best wide receiver in football right now. You don't want to have this quarterback that can't get them the ball. We saw what that looked like last year. And this is a team that played a lot of close games again. They have the ability to jump back up into the top tier of the NFL from a record perspective very quickly with Cousins at quarterback. So for me, it makes sense for everybody here for Kirk Cousins to stay in Minnesota. And if you are Minnesota and you want to start figuring out what the future looks like, draft a quarterback in the third round, draft one in the fourth round, and give Cousins this 2-year, 3-year type bridge deal where you get to keep him in Minnesota, keep your team moving forward, keep Justin Jefferson happy, and then also figure out, okay, do we have the guy of the future sitting behind him?
Well, and that's the thing about Kirk Cousins is, okay, how much are you going to pay him now? Because that portion of it's very important. There were the reports that came out last week about the Vikings not wanting to guarantee his contract like he's had in the past. And how much does that impact maybe Kirk Cousins' decision making? Do you think that there's any stock in what Adam Schefter said this week about how, in his mind, maybe negotiations aren't going as well as we think with Kirk Cousins? Because if they were, then he wouldn't be posting that video like he did on the tennis courts. But I don't know. We already saw those moves on the NHL honor stage when he was dancing with the Magic Mike crew. So we can tell that the Achilles is feeling okay, at least right now. But is there any stock in a report like that you can take?
I don't think so. I think Kirk Cousins is just having fun right now. And he's out there living his life. And we've seen how goofy he can be. We saw that with the Netflix series Quarterback. And then we've seen it, like you said, at the NHL Awards as well. And so for me, Kirk Cousins is out there having a good time. I don't think that's a big part of it. And look, any negotiation isn't going well until someone signs on the dotted line, right? I mean, everyone would have liked this to be done already. It's not done yet. I don't think the Achilles is a big setback here. This is someone that they know works hard and that is they've had in the building for multiple years. So from an injury perspective, as long as he's on track to return when they expect him to return, I don't think that's a big setback from a contract perspective. So we'll see what he's able to get. But I think this all ends up with him in Minnesota. And I'm not too worried about that right now.
And you mentioned the Justin Jefferson piece of it as well. He and CeeDee Lamb, I'm sure, going back and forth to see who's going to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league right now. But general manager Kwesi Adofo-Mensah said, "We think he's the best wide receiver in the league and should be compensated as such. We think he's one of the best non-quarterbacks in the league and should be compensated as such," adding, "We're excited to have him and we'll continue those conversations because he's somebody we want around for a long time." And who could blame them? Because I think that there's been kind of this rumor, Will, swirling around that if Kirk Cousins ends up going somewhere else in free agency, maybe we don't bring back Justin Jefferson and we just rebuild from the ground up. But it doesn't sound like that's the plan at all. They think that they could have had a lot more success this year had Kirk Cousins stayed healthy, and that Justin Jefferson similarly stays healthy, he should get paid.
Yeah, I think they're right, too. I think they would have had success last year. And everyone goes back to two seasons ago when they had the record in those one score games, which everyone points at and says, oh, they were a lucky team. Well, they were in all of those games as well, and they were playing good football. And yeah, they got some good bounces. Last year's team, those first five games when they were 1-4, four of those were one score games. It was a situation, again, where they're in all of these football games. They're a competitive football team right now, and there's no reason to move yourself away from being a competitive football team, especially when you see like teams like the Rams this year, who were very, very close to making the Super Bowl. People don't realize how close they were. That they beaten Detroit, they would have had a real shot at taking down San Francisco. So you can go from being a bad team to a good team in the NFL very quickly, and you've got all the pieces in Minnesota. You need to upgrade the defense a little bit. But other than that, this is a team that can compete right away, and there's absolutely no reason, if you can get Kirk Cousins back, to move on from someone like Justin Jefferson, who I agree is the best wide receiver in football. And look, the nice part about signing someone like Justin Jefferson is that you can sign him and he will have value throughout that entire contract. People will still trade for him if he's the highest paid receiver in football because he is that good. And when you look at how you acquire a top 10 receiver, you either draft him or you trade for him. You never get those type of guys in free agency. We saw T. Higgins. You're not going to be able to get him in free agency as well. If you want him, you're going to have to trade for him, or Cincinnati's going to figure out how to extend him after putting the salary tag on him. So it is one of those situations where if you want one of these guys, you've got to pay him or you got to trade for him, and you never want to give them up for nothing. I don't see any way they don't work something out with Justin Jefferson long term.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the GM said as much, saying that trading Jefferson never crossed their mind. They want to keep him there. And the comment that you made about teams having the ability to go from really bad to really good quickly, I'm sure sounds extremely appealing to the Washington Commanders, because they have been really bad for a while now. They have the number 2 overall pick in this year's draft, and their general manager, Adam Peters, said, as far as a quarterback decision goes, that it has not been made, quote, by any stretch of the imagination, and added comments that he had good conversations with Sam Howell and is excited about him. Of course, everybody's thinking that they're going to go number 2 at quarterback. They need to. Likely Drake May, but Jaden Daniels has been a little bit of a wild card that's been discussed as maybe leapfrogging May in this draft. What do you think ultimately ends up happening with the Commanders at quarterback?
Well, Sam Howell will not be taking the first snap under center. I can tell you that right now. They may be happy with him, but he is not going to be the starting quarterback in Washington. And this is one of the most interesting parts of the draft to me, is what does Washington do with that number 2 pick? We have seen so much Drake May slander, it feels like, come out over the last couple of weeks leading into this combine. People forget he ran for over 600 yards at North Carolina. It's not like he's just a statue back there. He is a mobile guy. He is an athletic guy as well. But then you look at Jaden Daniels and the possible upside. Throws a beautiful deep ball, has that speed, able to extend the play. And you look at, you know, bringing someone in like Kingsbury, who likes to work with mobile quarterbacks and likes someone like Jaden Daniels. This is the one where I think it's going to be interesting coming up to the draft. I think you're going to be able to see both of these players at plus 200 at one point or another because of the buzz inside the news cycle. So I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on this number 2 pick market and seeing if I can get both of them at plus money, and also keeping a really close eye on specific player to Washington market. I know if you look right now, Jaden Daniels plus 120 to be the number 2 overall pick, but Jaden Daniels to Washington sitting there at plus 180. So you're able to get some extra value by saying, no, it's Washington who's picking him at 2. I don't see a world where Washington trades out of this 2 pick. They want to take their guy there. And so it's going to be one of those 2 quarterbacks to Washington. The question is which one. So by looking at the different markets available, specifically pairing a player with a team and pairing a player with a draft pick, I think you're going to be able to get value on both of these guys before the draft goes off.
Yeah, I was just going to say, unless people keep on trying to connect the dots with Cliff Kingsbury and Caleb Williams, that if they would trade out of it, they trade out to number 1. But that is a tall task. And as we talked about in hour 1, the Bears would want a significant offer to move out of a generational talent in Caleb Williams. And who wouldn't want Caleb Williams, it seems like, right now. But it'll be interesting to see what comes out about his interview process. I know there's no question marks whatsoever about him in terms of his on-field capabilities and the physical tools he has, but maybe the maturity, maybe some of the other off-the-field things have been questioned about him. But to tie this all together, we might as well, because also in hour one, we showed you that clip of Sean Payton talking about the person wearing the t-shirt and all the quarterbacks that were on it in Denver. Well, the Commanders have had 12 starting quarterbacks since Kirk Cousins walked away in free agency in 2018. So see how it all comes together? We just have a web going right now.
That's more the norm than anything else, right? If you don't have very many Green Bays where it's Brett Favre yeah. to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, you don't have very many Kansas Cities where it feels like you've had consistent quarterback play there now with Mahomes in there for 6 years, or like the norm is you have to recycle through all these quarterbacks. It's one of the reasons why when you have a top pick, look, I realize you're spending a lot of draft capital on a quarterback. They only hit about 50% of the time when you're looking at those top tier round one quarterbacks. But you're in limbo until you hit one, because you end up signing guys, and no offense to Baker Mayfield, who played fine this year, but you end up signing guys like Baker Mayfield, or you look at the Colts and the Matt Ryan of it all, where they go through this stretch of quarterbacks where they're trying to find a veteran quarterback. You need to draft quarterbacks. You need to take them early, and you have to hope that they hit. And if they don't, then you go ahead and you draft another, because you're going to be terrible anyway.
I know we have to hit the break, but on Baker Mayfield specifically, do you think this past year resurgence we saw, is that for real, or is it a 1 year thing?
I mean, he was better. I don't know if I call it a resurgence, right?
Like, come on, those are Geno Smith numbers and comeback player of the year. Let's go.
Yeah, okay. He's a top 15 to 20 quarterback, but you're not winning a Super Bowl with him or with Geno Smith, right?
So
you got to figure out what the answer is.
And I was going to say, and we all saw Geno Smith take a step back this year. That's why I think the question is worth asking. We're going to hit the break. Lots more NFL news and notes to get to.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. You'll get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. All you have to do is use our promo code Lombardi. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for the entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving every game, betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the big dance. Remember, use that promo code Lombardi. Gets you your first year of VSiN Pro access for $199. Sign up today, VSiN.com/subscribe. Mike Somich and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's head out to Indy. Our guy Eric Froton out there right now, lead college football analyst, NBC Sports, Roto-World, staying warm inside right now, which is good. Eric, welcome in.
Absolutely. Doing my very best to stay warm and to, hey, bring you whatever I can of the sights and sounds here in Indy.
Yes, we appreciate it. And I know everybody wants to talk quarterbacks, and we will. But today we got some big athletic guys getting after it. Defensive line, linebackers. Who's got a chance to really raise their stock this week from those groups?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think especially from the linebacker group, we do have kind of an unsettled top end. I feel like, is it going to be Peyton Wilson, who is a 6'5", 235-pound, kind of a long off-ball linebacker? Usually you see 6'5", guys, they're edge players. But no, Peyton Wilson, extremely athletic for that size. Or is it going to be Edgerrin Cooper, you know, from Texas A&M? Another, you know, differently built, more compact, that 6'1", you know, 235, 240, real hitter. Great with his fills when it comes to the run game, also can cover, you know, kind of is more of a complete linebacker, or even potentially a Michigan linebacker, Junior Colson, you know, who we saw the national championship award-winning Wolverines. He was the heart and soul of the interior of that defense. So I would say those are the top three linebackers. And I think that, you know, between Wilson and Cooper especially, I want to see what they're running and the agility drills that they're going to be doing, because they're both neck and neck for that number one linebacker spot.
All right, Eric, I'll shift us over to the quarterbacks, and Stormy didn't lead with it there.
Listen, I was trying to change things up a bit, okay?
I get it. We got to talk quarterbacks, though. We're not going to see some of the big guys work out at the combine, but if Buzz was an iceberg right now, J.J. McCarthy's could sink the Titanic. We've heard him go up to the top 15. Now, all of a sudden, there's some top 10 buzz around him. He is throwing later this week. What are you hearing about J.J. McCarthy there in Indianapolis?
Yeah, and you're right, Josh. His value has just been screaming. I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, it was sort of McCarthy, Penix, Nix in that second tier. But then you saw Nix and Penix, you know, not really have particularly good Senior Bowl performances. And that has really caused J.J. McCarthy to be the belle of the ball here. And like you said, skyrocketing up draft boards. Frankly, I think it's kind of likely he lands in the top half of the first round right now with kind of the smoke. And the fact that there's going to be some quarterback needy teams that are going to be left out of the dance. Denver, you know, what happens with Atlanta? You can even see as high as the Giants. They're desperate for a replacement for Danny Dimes. So I do think you will see J.J. McCarthy go in the first half of this first round. And if I had to take one, if I had to guess, I kind of think Denver. That's just the smoke that I'm feeling right now.
Interesting. Another guy that's been talked about in kind of opposite terms right now is Drake May. I heard Merrill Hodge have some strong comments about the off-target misses, inconsistent, said he's not extremely athletic. And then you hear other analysts who say he's Josh Allen 2.0 and he's got all the tools. And if Caleb Williams wasn't the top overall prospect in this year's draft, if it was anybody else, Drake May would be that can't miss guy. How do you view the UNC QB?
Well, with all due respect to Mr. Merrill Hodge, he has been kind of the Grinch of this QB Christmas season so far. Like, he doesn't like Caleb. He doesn't like Drake May. All right, Merrill, who do you like, sir? You know, respectfully. But that being said, Drake May, it's not so much where he's at right now. He's 21 years old. You look at Jaden Daniels. This is a fifth-year QB who, for the first 4 years of his career, was fairly underwhelming. I don't think that's particularly a hot take. And put it all together year five, well, you got Drake May. He's a third-year entry, you know, and he is young. And in terms of his athleticism, man, his dad is a UNC program basketball legend. His brother played basketball at UNC. I am a basketball player, and I happen to believe that basketball players translate to any sport as well as any athlete. You look at all the best wide receivers, they have a basketball background, and that's what Drake May has too, you know. So I'm not worried about his athleticism. If you watch him run, he's absolutely navigates the pocket very well, nimble. And when you talk about his best trait, it's that cannon he's got on his shoulder. When you talk about deep ball passing rate, 20% of his attempts were deep shots. That was the fourth most in the Power Five. And he completed 47% of them. That's fifth in all of FBS. Okay. 33% of his downfield throws were considered big time throws. One out of every three. All right. I know that he can throw downfield. Can he do the rest of it, you know, full, give a full picture, read the room, be able to see, you know, the defenses and be comfortable making that full, you know, sideline to sideline progression? You know, that remains to be seen. He could clean up his footwork a little bit, but I think with the intangibles and the tools, he's simply too tantalizing to pass up on. I would take him as my QB2 in this class.
It's wild to me how fast people forget he ran for over 600 yards last year at UNC just because of the athleticism around him at that quarterback position that's in this draft class. One of my favorite things at the combine is the burners, right? How fast can you go in that 40-yard dash? Right now, there's a prop plus 425. Will anyone break the record for the fastest 40-yard dash? We've got three absolute burners in this draft class: Xavier Woody, Nake Wiggins, and Anthony Gold. Does anyone knock off that record in the 40-yard dash this year?
Yeah, so we do have some absolute speedsters. However, you know, I wouldn't put Nate Wiggins quite in that category. In fact, you know, he was listed originally, since this is VSiN, this is a gambling network, if I'm not mistaken.
Rumor has it.
Well, he was initially listed, you know, at a line that I just simply wasn't comfortable with. And we've seen that completely shift in the hours since it just opened yesterday. So in terms of the speed market, like, Wiggins came out at 4.55 at his opening line. That was outrageously high for somebody that we're talking about here possibly being the fastest guy in the combine. You're going to start out at a 4.55. That quickly plummeted. That is now even off the board. If I'm looking at it, you know, with if I'm capping, Did a little yesterday. Xavier Worthy is absolutely, I think he's probably my favorite. You know, he had the highest score in terms of the miles per hour readings on the Real Analytics during the season. There's also another player, Tyler Owens, you're going to want to be aware of. He is bigger. You know, he checked in at 207 at the Senior Bowl, but he was dropping like A-chain-esque 100 meter times in high school. You know, I think his personal best was 10.26. He was under 10.5 all over the place. So he's certainly somebody that I think right now is probably the odds on favorite to be the fastest. But at 207 pounds, I want somebody who's lighter. I like Anthony Gold, you know, who is a 5'8", 170 return man. He's fast, dynamic for Oregon State. It's kind of easier for those guys to get going, you know, and ramp up. Do I think it will be broken this year? I sincerely do not think that this record will be broken. Nobody in that rarefied air territory. I think probably Kalen Barnes of a couple years ago from UTSA was the closest one, I think, had the best shot of recent guys. DJ Turner was a safety. He was the fastest last year. What I am looking at, I don't want anybody in that 205 to 207 range, which is the favorite in Owens. I want the lighter guys in Worthy around that 180 mark, 170 for Gold. I also think he's pretty good. Maybe even Roman Wilson, you know, is in that 180 range for Michigan. You know, as a deep sleeper, it was about, I think he was 16-1 to be the fastest player at the combine. So that is kind of the strategy I'm taking in the overall big markets. I want to take the lighter guys as opposed to the favorite. No one's fading the favorite. Going for the lighter guys a little bit down the board, trying to chase some value.
I love it. And that Josh Ross record has stood pat for a couple years now, 2017, that 4.22. Last one here, about 90 seconds to go in this segment. Marvin Harrison Jr., is he still the best clear-cut non-QB available on the board? I know that there's been a little bit of love for Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze creeping up. Is it Marvin Harrison or is it someone else?
I don't see how you can move off of a legacy pick like Marvin Harrison, 6'4", 205. And when you hear the players who played against him, what they talk about with him is not just his style, his grace, his speed, it's his strength. They talk about how strong he is. You can't bump him off his routes. He's going to go through you. You know, so the fact that he has the kind of speed he does at the size he does, with the kind of leverage he plays with, the ability to separate at the late stage of the route and track the ball, he's everything you want. That being said, I am a huge Malik Nabers guy, the acceleration, right? The 6 foot, 200 pound frame. It's that separator. He can do it all. I'm a huge fan of Nabers. Man, you can't move off of Marvin Harrison. Yeah. He is a generational prospect.
I'm just sad that he's not actually doing the workout. Like, that's the kind of stuff that makes me want to get into the combine, is seeing these guys, these stars perform. Eric, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of Combine Week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Eric Froton doing awesome work with NBC Sports, Roto World. We're going to hit the break.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use our promo code Lombardi. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, you gotta use that promo code Lombardi. That'll get you your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi out getting some time away. Will Hill, kind enough to step in with us, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, and now putting some of his odds-making skills to the test. Will, what do we have in store here?
All right, so division odds are not up. I'm guessing it's because there's enough major quarterbacks that they don't want to hang a number on teams like the Falcons, the Vikings, where we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. So my guess is that's why. So I took the initiative. I made them up. I have an idea, I guess, of where they're going to be. Some of them were very difficult. Some of them more straightforward. I think I'm in the ballpark. So we'll just go division by division, team by team, and you can bet against me. You can tell me where I'm wrong, and I'm willing to take your action. So we'll start with, what are we doing? We're doing NFC first, right?
Or AFC. AFC.
AFC. We'll start in the AFC East.
Okay.
The Bills are the short shot, plus 150. Repeating is the champion, the favorite last year. I think you have to make them the favorite. Dolphins not far behind, plus 180. Led wire to wire, except for the final week of the season last year. Jets, plus 275. And then the Patriots have already been mathematically eliminated. They are 12-1. You can put whatever number you want on them. What do you like here? AFC East, Bills are the short shot.
Okay, so I'm going to continue just to cross out the Patriots on the bottom.
Bold move.
I know. I think we need to throw that out there first and foremost. I wish Jerod Mayo all the best. I hope offensively they figure things out a little bit without Van Pelt. That's not going to be the bet. You couldn't make the odds long enough at this point for me. Buffalo, I agree, rightful favorite. And I think that would be my pick in this standpoint for them to run it back. I mean, for the Dolphins, if they didn't win the division this year, what should make me believe that they're going to be able to do it next year or moving forward, right? And then the Jets, I imagine that would be a trendy pick at this price. You probably want to give a little bit more, but I understand the liability you probably have at your book coming in on Aaron Rodgers being back healthy this year. They're going to need to do some serious upgrades to that offensive line. I don't have a ton of faith that GM, owner, head coach Aaron Rodgers is going to give New York football fans what they are hoping to get out there. What are your thoughts? If odds makers make bets too.
I don't see you reaching for that wallet. I don't see you reaching for that wallet trying to bet me on anything.
No, I'll bet Buffalo. I'll bet Buffalo to repeat.
How much do you want? What do you want? 10 dimes? How much do you want on Buffalo?
I'll take a nickel. I'll do a nickel.
All right. This is I get why you like these games. This is very, I feel very powerful as you know, throwing out the questions.
This is a lot of, I feel very stressed chair. Being on the other side of it. Like I'm it. Not See, sure I like
now,
it.
Now you know how it feels. Now you know what I go through. I would take the Jets. I'll just, we can copy and paste my analysis from last year when Rodgers got hurt four plays in the season. I just think they're going to have a good defense. They're going to have a quarterback. This idea that maybe they could trade for Devontae Adams. They're going to have a top 10 pick. I think that could be a 10 or 11 win team. I don't love the coach. There's obviously ways it can go wrong with the quarterback being 40, but I'm still a believer in Rodgers, the defense, Garrett Wilson. If you put Adams and again, top 10 pick, could you get Bowers at 10? Boy, that'd be a hell of a team. I'll go Jets. I think there's some value.
Don't you just feel like there's so much dysfunction within that organization, though? Possible. That's like, it's brutal to me. I do like the idea of Devontae Adams, though. And he is 40-1, by the way, in the offensive player of the year market right now, which if there's anything about the Jets that would make me want to buy in on them is if they got Devontae Adams, but I'm not so sure that'll happen. I would like it to happen.
So you're going chalk Bills plus 150.
I'm going chalk, right. Yes.
AFC West, Chiefs minus 150, Chargers 2-1, Broncos 8-1, Raiders 9-1. You could have flipped the Broncos and the Raiders. Wasn't sure what to do with those teams. I might have made the Chiefs a little light here. What do you like here?
So, I mean, I'm picking the Chiefs to win this division until another AFC West team gives me a reason not to pick the Chiefs, right? They've won the division 8 straight years. Patrick Mahomes does not know a world in which they have not won the AFC West. At minus 150, do I want to hold my money up for an entire season making this bet on February 27th? I don't know. So I would either bet the Chiefs or no bet in this division. The Chargers at 2-1. I think I should be getting a better number for a 5-win team last season and a roster that's aging and expensive. And a lot of questions coming into this year and a new head coach and all of those things. So I would like a little bit more value if I was going to do a play on the Chargers. But I understand why you had to put it there because people are going to buy in on the Jim Harbaugh experience. No belief in the Broncos or Raiders. So no long shots for me in this division.
Yeah, I texted these to a couple of people. I texted these to Bear and John Goulet, our great program director, and they both said Chiefs are a little short. But remember, last year, the Chiefs were, I think, minus 120, and 2 years ago, the Chiefs were plus money. So I don't know. For whatever reason, I remember 2 years ago, the Broncos had optimism because they just got Russell Wilson. Raiders just made the playoffs. The Chargers were viewed a little differently. So I don't know. I put this, in the ballpark of where it'll be again.
Yeah.
You're tying up your money for a long time. But
I could see that being like minus 160, minus 175 for Kansas City.
Yeah.
But so to your point, there's perceived value at a minus 150 price. But do I want to lay juice on a bet that I'm going to have to hold up for an entire calendar year? I don't know.
I kept your wallet at bay there, so I did a good job with that one. AFC South. This is an interesting one. I made Texans and Jags both plus 120. The Jags were big favorites going into last year. They were big favorites middle of the year. They collapse. The Texans, is it a one hit wonder? Or are they just the team on the rise? They're going to be a trendy pick. Colts, I made 3-1. Who knows if Richardson can stay healthy, then the Titans are way back at 8-1. What do you like your AFC South?
Will, I despise this division. I despise everything about it. And so I am actually proud of myself because I liked the Texans last year. And maybe that was just my 49ers fandom being projected onto DeMeco Ryans that I really believed in him. Meanwhile, I don't have that same feeling for Robert Saleh. Riddle me that. Who knows? But if I had to make a pick in the division, I would go with the Houston Texans. I'm a believer in CJ Stroud and DeMeco Ryans' defensive identity that he's going to try to grow and develop within that team, especially when Tank Dell comes back healthy whenever he becomes available again. I like a lot of things with the Houston Texans. Jags, I just don't know if they're the most trustworthy. The Colts, Elliott, don't hate me, but I'm not sure that I'm a believer in the Anthony Richardson experience just yet. And the Titans, I definitely am not a believer in Will Levis, and they have a lot to figure out on that offensive line. They did get a really good hire with Callahan's dad being brought over from the Cleveland Browns from that standpoint. But I just don't know. This division, I don't care for.
Yeah, I wouldn't make any bets here either. Hypothetically, well, you would bet the Texans or you would actually bet them at plus 120. I just feel like a plus 120. Okay, I could see him winning, but I'm not rushing to bet him plus 120. It's just not enough bang for my
buck. Yeah, it's like force my hand. You made me take a bet in this division. Yes. I would take it on Houston, but this would be a no bet play for me.
AFC North. This one wasn't that easy. I made the Ravens the short shot just because they were the one seed last year. I made the Ravens plus 130. I made the Bengals plus 150. They get Burrow back. The defense didn't look good last year, but you can't put too big of a number on them. Browns plus 300. Again, this is about where they were last year. They certainly have the talent. And then the Steelers plus 800. Could have made that a little longer. What do you like here? AFC North.
So this is probably, correct me if I'm wrong, the toughest division top to bottom in the NFL right now, right? Like with all of the perceived talent and ability, the potential for winning games. I think this division is really, really hard. The Ravens and Bengals do feel like the safer options here. I don't mind either one of those prices, but I love 8-1 on the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North. I love it.
I'll book it. The wallet. I'll book it.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. You can give me, I'll take another Nick.
Who's their quarterback?
So that's a conversation for another day. We're going to figure that. Yeah, we're going to figure issue. That out later.
Who needs a quarterback?
It's not going to be Kenny Pickett. So as long as it's not Kenny Pickett, I think that whatever free agent or trade they make to bring a quarterback in there, it's going to be fine. We all know Mike Tomlin's track record. Their offense is chock full of weapons. They just need a facilitator to get the ball out properly. I think Matt Canada was a big part of the problem as to why this offense did not succeed in addition to the quarterback position. So hopefully Arthur Smith can be that upgrade they need from that standpoint as well. Like as long as you get serviceable quarterback play that is able to give you, I don't know, maybe just more than one game with two touchdown passes for your entire career, I think that would be a benefit to this offense. If you can get that in a quarterback, I'll be happy.
I just think they're clearly the fourth best team, and yeah, they can get to nine
maybe
wins.
They
and
are, but 8-1, come on.
Hey, this is why they build those tall buildings in Vegas. You get sucker bets like Stormy coming in betting her Steelers 8-1.
Okay. Listen, I'm not betting my my whole financial savings account on this thing, but I like it, especially at that number. Maybe the real odds will give me double digits, and then I'll go fire away.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think I was off on anything? Do you think you'll get double digits with the Steelers?
I would like it. I don't know. I don't think so. I think that there's more optimism. Yeah. I think there's more optimism about the Steelers team than you have outwardly.
I just don't think the upside is there. Okay, they can get to nine wins and Russell Wilson maybe get to 10, but like either Baltimore, Cincy, or Cleveland, one of them is probably going to get to 11 or 12. I just don't know if the Steelers can get to that neighborhood.
But the Steelers ain't no slouches. They had trash quarterback play this year and still made the playoffs. Like, I think that it's very, very within the wheel. I mean, if you got their guys healthy, Najee Harris, Warren, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, like they have a lot of talent on offense. And we know that defensively they're capable as long as TJ Watt's healthy. So there's some interesting factors here. We're going to take a quick timeout here.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Do you
disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
Well, Michael isn't here today, but we are so fortunate that we have the one and only, the living legend, Mike Somich here to ask him no way or no doubt. And we are going to start in the Big D. Dallas Cowboys star Dak Prescott is up for a contract extension. And while Stephen Jones wasn't willing to share details about their negotiations, he did say, our whole thing with Dak is him being a Cowboy. That is all that is on their mind. With the salary cap being raised too, Somich, no way or no doubt, Dak Prescott will be the highest paid QB in NFL history with his next deal.
Well, it's in Big D, so it's a no doubter here. The question to me is whether or not he gets $70 million a year. And you mentioned that cap increase. That's going to be very beneficial for him. Every time we see these big quarterbacks come up, you go through the process of resetting the market. And this is going to be another one of those contracts that resets the market. And the problem for the Cowboys is you have deals in the past year, year and a half that have pushed this market up and up and up and up. And if you move on from Dak, what are you moving on to? You don't really have any options. So all the leverage is in the Dak Prescott camp. I think there's no doubt he becomes the highest paid player in the NFL.
MVP runner-up this year, three straight 12-win seasons, but just 2-5 in the playoffs. It seems, though, that Dallas believes he's the guy that will ultimately, at some point, get him over the hump and get them to their first hopeful NFC championship since 1995. This one was interesting coming out of the combine. I'm so glad you texted this to Elliot and I earlier today. Texas Tech's Tyler Owens says he doesn't believe in space or other planets. He's religious and said we're all out here alone. He used to believe in the solar system and revolving around the sun, but he said not anymore. Flat Earth theories have, quote, valid points. No way or no doubt, space is real.
I'm going to go with no doubt that space is real.
You really had to think about it, though, right?
Well, you know, you never know if you're just in a giant planetarium, because that's the way this space is not real, right?
We're all in the Matrix.
Yeah, it's like that Jim Carrey movie, right? The Truman Show. We're all inside the Truman Show. It's just projecting up there. No, there's no doubt. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Look, he is a cornerback. Maybe he doesn't believe in space for wide receivers. And so he's just trying to shut him down in that sense.
Ooh, well done. See, and to
Galaxy
me.
Galaxy brain. Or the, I guess flat earth brain.
That's what we should call it now. What I was going to say, what this shows me is this dude focuses so much on ball. He doesn't have space for anything else. There we go. I'm Wordsmith too. We're working on this. Let's keep it in college sports. There's been a ton of talk over the course of the last couple weeks about court storming with Kyle Filipowski getting injured coming off of the court. Caitlin Clark, same thing in the women's game. No way or no doubt, the NCAA should try to ban court storming nationwide.
Man, this is tough. I stormed a football field when I was at college. I have a piece of the goalpost in the bookshelves behind me. So there is a special place in my heart. But at the same time, like, you got to be respectful when you do it. And I feel like you're just not seeing as much respectful fandom as we have in the past. I don't think they should ban it. So I'm going to go no way you should ban it. But I think there's no doubt it's going to happen.
See, I think that there are a lot of coaches and people that are being overdramatic. And I don't know, maybe that's just like our culture in today's day and age that we overthink and overdo it for everything. Like, I agree with the general concept of this is the players' court. This is where the players and coaches belong. This is not where the fans belong. But this has become such a huge thing in what college basketball is. And when you get that big upset, people love having the pictures up in the athletics department of them rushing the court and rushing the field and all of these things. I don't think it's going away. I think you can do a better job of policing it, but like, I can count on one hand how many people have actually been injured or injured significantly in one of these instances. It's not something that happens normally to these players. So there is a better way to handle it. I don't think people need to get arrested. I don't think that it needs to be banned, but you know, just approach it a little bit better from a security standpoint. How about this? Also, like, we keep on hearing all these things about the college football playoff getting expanded to 14, even though we haven't even seen 12 yet. Love that. And the NCAA tournament getting expanded again as well beyond the 64 that we see right now. No way or no doubt, the more teams, the better in college hoops and college football. What do you think?
Well, from Mike Somich's perspective, no way. We don't need to oversaturate this. From the NCAA's perspective, that's a no-doubter, you know, because it's all about the Benjamins, and they make more money if there are more games, and that's what they are looking at here. I think you're going to see both of these fields expand, but I don't think you need to. I think we're at a good number here in the NCAA basketball tournament. We don't need to add another round, essentially, or have more playing games on the first Tuesday and the first Wednesday. And from a college football perspective, let's try it a couple years for 12 and make sure we don't just end up with a top four seeds in the finals or semifinals every single year before we decide to expand out to 14.
Yes, exactly. Let's just see what 12 is like. Like, realistically, have we ever looked, Ellie and I were talking about this earlier, have you ever looked at the top 25 and been like, wow, that 14th team, a real contender? Yeah. Like, probably not. Probably not. So let's just go one step at a time. Walk before we run. Crawl before we walk. There are steps to these things for a reason. This next one I found very interesting. Some quotes from Elliot Wolf about the New England Patriots culture. Take a listen.
It's easy to say the culture's changed, but, you know, there's no players here right now, so we'll see if the culture's changed. But certainly there's more of an open, kind of less hard-ass type vibe in the building that we can, you know, that we can kind of move forward with.
Is there a definition for the culture that you guys are shooting for?
No, again, I think it's about people and developing people. It's about doing the right thing, being honest and open, and people feeling comfortable enough if there's an issue to say something.
That coming from an executive within the organization, very interesting. No way or no doubt, Mike, in your opinion, the culture of the Patriots is better without Bill Belichick.
No doubt. And it's not because I don't think that the culture with Bill Belichick is a bad thing. I think that when you have a certain voice for a long period of time, that voice wears on people. And that feels like what had happened in New England, is that the Bill Belichick voice had run its course. Now, if he goes somewhere else and creates a similar culture, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. But for that New England franchise, it feels like it was time to get a new voice, a different voice inside the locker room that was driving the culture. So I'll give this one the no doubt.
I'm surprised that was his approach to it and being so open in that setting. But I think that it was clear to everybody from the outside looking in even that there needed to be change. So we'll see ultimately how Gerard Mayo handles things internally. So last February, the eventual national champion in UConn for college basketball, they were a 15-1 shot to cut down the nets. No way or no doubt, this year's College Hoops national champ is currently at 15-1 odds or higher.
We're going no doubt, baby. I got North Carolina at 18-1.
Let's go.
I'm going to ride that train all the way home. And to me, there's a key part of this, right? It's who is sub 15-1. So what teams are you looking at in that price range? And a lot of the teams that people are going to point to are Purdue, Houston, and UConn. I think UConn is the one team of those three that has a big time chance to cut down the nets. I think Purdue is going to make it further than last year, which obviously won't be hard, but I do think they have more scoring. So I think they're going to be able to make a push there. But I'm not a big Houston fan. I think they fall apart at some time. I think Tennessee has defensive struggles. Arizona is not well tested when you look at their non-conference. So to me, there's really one team I'm worried about that's sub 15-1. That's UConn. I'll take someone over 15-1 in this spot. Specifically, I like North Carolina at 18-1. And I don't hate the idea of someone like Duke, someone like Baylor to be at bigger prices to be able to make a run.
Duke 28-1, Baylor 45-1. The Kentucky Wildcats, a hot button team as well, sitting at 22-1. Similar question, different sport. Last year, Lamar Jackson was a 15-1 shot in the MVP race. Could you see, no way or no doubt, next year's NFL MVP being a 15-1 shot or higher?
I'm going to go with no way here. I think we're going to get a little chalky next year. I think it's very similar to what we saw last year in the NBA, where Embiid wins it, but everyone realizes that the Joker is the significantly better player. Once we get to playoff time, he becomes the favorite and stays the favorite. I think people got reminded of Patrick Mahomes a little bit in the playoffs. I think he is a deserving favorite at a short price, and I think the logical guys are up there. I don't see someone like Brock Purdy being able to make a run like what we saw this year. And even Lamar Jackson, he was on the radar at the start of the year, but wasn't someone that you're like, yeah, that's definitely the guy I want. And the fact that you've got Herbert at 12-1, you've got Love at 12-1, you've got Stroud at 12-1, you've got Allen sitting there at 7-1, Burrow at 9-1, Mahomes at 6-1. You've got a lot of guys who are going to be competing for this award all under that 15-1 number.
I don't know why you had to just, I mean, Brock Purdy catching strays out here. I don't think
he was a big price. He was a
Let
big price.
Let him live. Some of the options, though, that are in the 15-1 or higher range, Jalen Hurts, Dak, Tua Tagovailoa, Aaron Rodgers, 20-1, Trevor Lawrence, 25-1. The list goes on. Oh, can't forget our guy, Anthony Richardson, as well. Elliot would definitely want me to point that out. 40-1 for AR-15 coming out there. We're going to hit the break here really quickly. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.